After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pitch. Swing and a long drive, deep left, way back, gone!
And welcome back to the BA Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. I am here, as always, with my co-host, our lead fantasy analyst, the maker of RoboScout, and to give you long introductions, Dylan White. How's it going, Dylan? Wearing his Blue Jays hat today, showing a little national. Yeah.
I'm wearing the Blue Jay hat, and it's Monday, and Alek Manoah got shelled again. Six earned in one third of an inning. So I'm putting on the hat to, invoke the fantasy and baseball gods to figure out what's wrong with him.
Trying to get some good juju going there, maybe shake some of the bad spirits within Alek Manoah's right arm. We don't know what's
exactly
going on.
Next week I might turn the hat around so it's backwards if it gets particularly bad.
By Canada Day, you're going to be spitting inside of it to try to find some luck. Well, over the last week, Alek Manoah notwithstanding, we've done some big things. We updated our fantasy list. We did a 100 in the preseason, though if you went through the dynasty list, I think it was probably a little bit more. And we did a fantasy 200 this time when we updated our first update of the season. I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like we had enough names. Some of it was valuable, because we can be as aggressive as we want to be with some of these names in fantasy baseball. It's a little bit different than our regular lists that we do, where we're getting a lot of scout feedback. Not that we ignore that at all within this process, but I think there's a little more personal bias. There's also a little more fantasy slant. And a big part of that sometimes, this is going to be more of a esoteric conversation, but like, I feel like perception with fantasy rankings for prospects holds as much weight as like reality does. And I think one of the reasons for that is people kind of use prospects in fantasy dynasty leagues like currency. I know that depending on your team, you're trying to upgrade certain positions, somebody's rebuilding, they have, an older or more established player. And you feel as if you can trade a couple of high-end prospects with some helium for a guy that can help you now. I think more often than not, that's typically the viewpoint on prospects that transcends any size, structure, or scoring format in any particular league. Dylan, do you agree with that? Because the more I think about it, particularly on the fantasy side, I don't know if anything really matters other than helium and production to a degree, outside of like the real obvious top 10 or 15 type of players.
I completely agree. I think the name of the game, and I think the name of real baseball as well, is to find the inefficiencies. So sure. What is the rest of the league overvaluing or undervaluing or not exploiting, and take advantage where you can. So the way we say know your league format, like I think know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and know your league mates and their tendencies. If they love prospects, then yeah, use them as currency. If they hate prospects, then take advantage of that and start building assets through the draft. But perception obviously is a huge part of that. So if there's a difference, a discrepancy between the perception of a prospect and their quote unquote real value, then take advantage of it. Either trade for it if it's the one way, or trade it if it's the other way. So yeah, definitely perception is a huge part of prospect game and dynasty leagues.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're always working with very small sample sizes, and then everything kind of comes to a screeching halt in the off season, and there's a little bit more concrete, defined values on players in the off season. Like, I always feel like, depending upon like league to league, you can get very similar sort of feedback, where right now within the wilderness, there's like a wild spectrum of opinions on certain players, depending upon what you value, what you look at, etc. So with all that being said, we have put out this list. We're going to talk through some of our biggest differences in terms of rankings, but also some players that jumped way up the list. I don't think we have to talk about Jaxson Holliday. I think we've talked about Jaxson Holliday. I think everyone's talked about Jaxson Holliday at this point. He's two at the list. He jumps up 14 spots. I don't feel like we really need to say anything about that. Kind of same deal with Yuri Perez. It's all been talked to like ad nauseum. Let's talk about somebody that did jump up significantly. We're not talking 10 to 15 spots, etc. We're talking 60. That's Junior Caminero. He moves all the way up to 9 after he was ranked 60 preseason. What are your thoughts there, Dylan?
I remember a few weeks ago, it was like, is Junior Caminero a top 10 prospect? And, you know, there was actually some debate whether or not he is. And I think a couple of weeks later, and it's like, yeah, you know what? He is, with all the graduations, yeah. Just him kind of continuing on with what he's doing. Now he's in AA. It's kind of undeniable that the ceiling's so high, you know, 30 home run bat type of thing. If he can master AA and show that he can't be exploited by upper level pitching, he can be a bit more selective and still get to his game power, like the world's his oyster, basically. So, you know, we're betting on that happening. And we have him ahead of, you know, Royce Lewis, who's in the majors, and Grayson Rodriguez, who was in the majors. So, you know, that's just kind of showing how much we believe in him.
Yeah, absolutely. We do still have Grayson at 10 overall. I don't know. I think there's still some debate there. I know I'm a little bit lower on Grayson than you are, which is kind of crazy to say. I'm a little worried about the breaking ball quality and, you know, just how he's kind of backed up in consecutive years. But I don't know. No reason to get into a super debate here on that one. It's only 7 spots. We have bigger deltas throughout. One that I want to kind of jump on here a little bit is Jason Dominguez. We both have him in a pretty similar spot. I have him 12. You have him 15. You can look at the batting average and panic. I think overall, if you look at what this guy's doing, the underlying data, the age that he's at in AA, I buy it, especially for fantasy. There's going to be power. I tend to slant toward more of an OBP focus because I play in mostly OBP leagues or leagues that value that in some way, shape, or form. There's going to be speed. There's going to be power. And I honestly think the batting average will come around, you know, especially when he starts to face like actual league appropriate competition in a few years, you know. But yeah, for me, I'm sort of at the point now where this is where Jason has actually been his most valuable, despite the perception. I have no idea when the Yankees will promote him. They're not great about us understanding any of that. And it's not the easiest environment for a guy with big expectations. So just have to sort of wear that stuff on his shoulders. But I think overall, like when we look forward in 5, 6, 7 years, I think he could be a top 20 player that we rank right now pretty easily. What are your thoughts on Dominguez? Because you're not quite as high as me, but you're within shouting distance, whispering yeah. distance. Maybe
I know like other outlets are talking. You know, they're dropping him because, you know, the batting average is hovering around the Mendoza line. But like you said, you got to ignore that. You got to look at the plate skills, the high walk rate. He's only in his age 20 season in Double A, which is, you know, like 4 years younger than the average. His exit velocities underlying are plus. It's power, it's speed, 8 home runs, 14 stolen bases. It's kind of all there. So yeah, I mean, maybe it's a disappointment from the expectations we'd put on him before he was signed. But like, there's nothing that's really soured me at all in what he's doing. I mean, I have him right now. I think he's third in Double A and RoboScout behind Colt Keith and Luis Matos. I just kind of reran it after yesterday's. Actually, maybe this is 2 days. Data. And so, I mean, the robot doesn't lie. He's excelling at age 20 in Double A.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, totally agree there. We talked about that a little bit. Another big mover for me, and I got to be honest, you're a couple spots higher than I am. I could probably even move him up now that he's back healthy playing again. That's Colton Cowser. We've gotten great feedback on Cowser from opposing scouts and sources. I'm doing the update on that Orioles top 30. So I can tell you this firsthand because I'm doing the reporting myself. We've actually gotten some votes, quite a few for Cowser over Grayson Rodriguez from scouts, frankly, and like experienced scouts for what it's worth. You know, just a little spicy take there for you. You know, they think he can play center field, which for fantasy doesn't really matter, but he should play an outfield spot and isn't a butcher out there. Moves well, really good at bats. He's shown improvement against left-handers. And really, if like you're going to be deficient in an area, if it's really like you walk and don't hit a ton against left-handers, you don't see that many left-handed pitchers. So it shouldn't be that big of an issue. Power, we know about the on-base ability. The contacts there too, and he can run a little bit. So I honestly think Colton Cowser could be up, especially with like Cedric Mullins hurt, like etc. You know, it wouldn't shock me if Cowser ends up getting called up in the next week or two, frankly.
Yeah. That would be excellent. That would be excellent. I know he just came back. I think he's played 2 games now after leg injury.
Yeah, indeed.
So that's good. I just picked him up in my home league where it's a first come first served sort of thing. It's a 12 team league, so it's not the deepest. I just traded Churio, and I didn't have any minor leaguers, and so I just picked Colton Cowser up yesterday. So
this is
for my league mate who said he can't wait to hear on the podcast me talk about Colton Cowser, and I said, yeah, I'm going to talk about how he should be number one, just so I can raise his value. And take advantage, like I said, of exploiting your league mates by finding inefficiency. So I'll talk him up, and then I'll trade him.
he's number 16, and one of the guys in front of him is Francisco Alvarez. And Alvarez is probably going to graduate from prospectum tomorrow within a few at-bats. So sort of there you go. All right, here's a bigger discrepancy that we had. We've done with Cowser talk. Is that okay? Dylan, or do you need me to do some more propaganda for you?
No, I think that's good. I think that's good.
All right. I've done enough work for the Omaha steaks that you're sending to my home. I appreciate it. We are both delicious and nutritious. We had a little bit of a discrepancy, 11 spots on Drew Jones. There's some panic out there on Drew Jones, even not just among fantasy managers, but evaluators and people within the game that I've spoken with. He is playing rehab games right now, but the looks haven't been good. That being said, it's 10 games, people. I was like the low man on Drew Jones, and now I find myself defending him. You are still kind of holding serve. You have him 14. I have him 25. He ranked 17, so he actually moved up from the offseason rank, which I think is a product of staying put and a bunch of prospects graduating, frankly. So it's sort of, you know, almost like moving back by moving forward, so to speak. Another guy that we had a little bit of a disagreement on, we kind of have him flip-flopped, is Marcelo Mayer, now in Double A. He moves back from 15 to 18, which is kind of funny because Mayer has produced and Drew Jones hasn't. So why Drew over Marcelo Mayer? I know it's only 9 spots, but why are you a little lower on Mayer?
I think ironically it's because he's played more Mayer. And so we kind of see what he is in quotes. Like we see he's probably, you know, a really, really good real baseball prospect and player, and will have a really long, successful career. As a fantasy producer, maybe not as much. And so, you know, the ceiling has kind of dropped because we're getting more and more information on what, you know, he's expected to produce. Whereas Drew Jones, ironically, because he hasn't played, it's like the ceiling is still nebulous. And we don't know. We could still dream on, you know, 40-40 and center field gold gloves. Because he hasn't proven it otherwise yet. That may change in a month or two, but I think that's kind of what it is. It's like we still haven't decided what Drew Jones is or can be, and Marcelo Mayer is kind of establishing himself as what he is.
Yeah, I see it. But I think, you know, at the same time, like Mayer has been pretty productive. I know it took him a little while to get his footing in Double A, but you know, another highly touted player who's hit. Do I think there's some swing and miss in the game? Sure. I do think there's some impact in the approach, you know, maybe isn't as good as it was billed necessarily. But I don't necessarily think that it's bad or indicative of somebody who's got like no plan at the plate and like no clue of like what's really going on up there. I wouldn't say that he falls into that bucket. But, you know, at the same time, like I'm definitely not like I'm not panicking in any way, shape or form on Marcelo Mayer myself. But
no, definitely. I mean, but he's 20. We just talked about Jason Dominguez, 20 in Double A. Sure. And, you know, Mayer doesn't really have the speed component that Dominguez has, for example. I know we're not comparing to Jason Dominguez, but just using it as context, he doesn't have the speed component. He is chasing more. He doesn't walk as much. And so, you know, Dominguez is going to be the better fantasy contributor, likely, because he's doing all that at a higher level as well. So, well, the bulk of Mayer's production has been at high A. So that's kind of what I'm talking about here. Like if Mayer is 20 at high A, he should be quote unquote dominating and putting up, you know, monster like Jackson Holiday type numbers. And we're just not seeing that right now. We're just seeing a very solid all around great shortstop, which is extremely valuable in real baseball. But, you know, if he's not putting up massive batting averages and speed numbers, then, you know, you got to kind of lower him a bit.
Yeah. But I think there's been improvement, just in terms of the power numbers, the underlying exit velocity numbers have been pretty good. You know, he's got a 90th percentile of 106. He's hit a ball 112 this year. I think he's trying to balance the hit tool with the power. And, you know, I think there's certainly value in that. You know, batting average and some home runs. Speed these days, you know, you can just get that for a song. It doesn't cost you anything. Everybody has the speed now, right? No, I think it's reasonable. I think I'd have him above Jones. Another guy that's moved up huge amount of spots in our rankings, Tanner Bibee, who's now moved up 57 spots. He'll probably graduate shortly. I don't know, anything you want to add here on Bibee? I have him 16, you have him 24. We're both pretty high on him.
He's your guy. You go ahead, wax poetic. I want to hear it. I like hearing you talk about Bibee.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think the command is at a point with good stuff that he executes, he gets deep into games, you know, regardless of what format you're in, he's going to give you fairly clean innings. Maybe he doesn't have the strikeout upside of a Gavin Williams or a Taj Bradley, two guys that are sort of within this range. But I do think that he gives you the ability to sort of make up some of those numbers by pitching more innings. We haven't totally seen that yet, but I think as a dynasty rankings, we're looking long-term. I just think this guy looks like somebody that can go 6-7 innings consistently, you know, really efficient with the pitch counts. And really, you know, has avoided getting torn up over the sort of early portion of the season, you know, and, you know, his career. We know about the stuff. It's good. The fastball shape and velocity was ticking up this year. I think it's another reason he's been able to come right up and, you know, not really get hit that hard or struggle with command that much over his first, whatever, 7 starts at this point. So he's only going to be ranking as a prospect for another 10 innings. So it's coming to an end fairly shortly. But yeah, I think if you look at just, you know, all the underlying stuff, it's pretty good. And we know, you know, Cleveland has done a good job of developing starters. And it's just, you know, a good sort of K to BB guy, right? Where, yeah, he doesn't have the 30% strikeout rate or, you know, 10 K per nine, but he'll give you solidly like a, you know, a 9 K per nine and 2 and give you some innings consistently without getting hit up too much and, you know, do a lot of heavy lifting on your ratios without really dragging you down in the strikeout category. So that's just from a fantasy perspective why I like Bybee. I think I've talked enough about his stuff and how he throws, etc. But yeah, I mean, he's gone 6 or more and, you know, 3 of his last 4, has gone 5 and 6 of his 7, you know, at least. So the performance has been good. So anyway, nothing you want now. We just want to let it breathe for a second there with Tanner Bybee.
Take it all in.
Yeah. Fair. That's fair. I don't know. Let's look at another name here that's jumped up quite a bit. And we'll take a quick break. Christian Encarnacion Strand. So Strand moved up from 81 in the offseason to 24. I have him actually at 22. You have him at 35. I'm a little higher on him. And it's not my typical type of prospect, but all this guy's done is hit. If the Reds call him up, he's going to play in Great America Ballpark, which is a great place to hit. I think he's going to be bad in OBP leagues. I think in like standard 5x5 roto, I think he's going to have a lot of upside because he's going to hit for power. And I think the batting average won't ever be as bad as it probably should be given his approach. But, you know, I don't know. The guy just figures out a way to hit regardless of a bad sort of swing rate and chase rate.
Yeah, I mean, the power, the home runs, like all that should transcend the contact, which isn't that bad, but the chase is really bad or really high, I guess. Let me put it that way. So like the projections look like he's a 30 home run bat, he's an above average WRC plus. Everything's there. I think actually I ding him a bit because it's not the normal profile I like. Is usually one that I like to take advantage of, like the Luke and Bakers, that type of thing, where it's like maybe a guy who's not the greatest defensively, who may be stuck at first base or DH, but it's going to mash and succeed, like a Luke Voit type of thing. But I think part of the problem is that it is with the Reds. I think they have such a glut of prospects coming up, but Matt McClain is up and Ellie Dela Cruz, of course, is coming up soon. And Olvi Marte is not far behind. So it's like, it's almost because they're too good and too young. And there's just going to be like a bottleneck of spots for these guys to play that I kind of dig him a bit, even though he's going to play in Great American Ballpark. So I was just kind of cautioning my rank. I lowered it a bit just to be, you know, he's still top, he's 35 on my list. We have him top 25. Like that's obviously quite strong and quite high. So like, it's not like we don't think he's good or I don't think he's good. He's obviously very good. like I have him ahead of Andrew Painter, for example. So that's just kind of a testament to what I believe his production's going to be. So yeah, he's going to be up this year. Pretty sure of that. He's going to hit some home runs. Pretty sure of that. He'll probably be like what we were kind of hoping Matt Mervis would be this year. You know, a lot of power coming from a corner, and a boon to your fantasy teams.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess I'm not as concerned with the major league situation as, you know, Kevin Newman and Nick Senzel staying on the field, being healthy and productive. Just don't scare me, because if those guys fall off, India moves back to second base. If Ellie gets called up, let's say, you know, he's at short or he's at third base. Matt McLean has played third base previously as well. That opens up the DH spot. I don't know. You know, I think they can fit all these guys in. This isn't, you know, a juggernaut sort of lineup. It is the Reds still, even with their good young players. You know, they're not a juggernaut. They're still starting Stuart Fairchild and Will Benson and Kevin Newman and Nick Senzel. Though I know he is now 27 and transcendent, Nick Senzel. You know, his career has been a renaissance, a rebirth of Nick Senzel at 27 years old. He's played 45 games. I think it's the most amount of games he's played consecutively. I'm kidding. He played 110 last year, which is actually shocking that Senzel was actually healthy for that amount of time. But there you go. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not all that concerned about this. I honestly think, like, Senzel has like a 30 WRC plus, you know. I assume that at some point opportunity will open up as Encarnacion Strand gets a little bit older, you know, hits his way into the major leagues. You know what? I said we're going to take a break. Let's take a break, and then we'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualification preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed. As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, Dylan, we are back. You still with me, Dylan?
I am.
I'm still here. A couple more ranks I want to jump through, you know, talk a little bit about. This guy has been really divisive. I kind of held serving him. And it's funny, for fantasy, I think I'm a little more apt to take some risks, which is probably means I'm stupid. But we had Emmanuel Rodriguez 29 in the offseason. He's 28. So really, he's holding serve more or less. You have him 37. I have him 26. What are your thoughts here? How concerned are you? He's 37. He's still pretty high. Of course, you know, I've got him 26, so I'm not all that concerned. I think that it's tough to hit the Midwest League, you know. Young player, we knew there were some flaws, but there's a lot of potential upside with this particular player. So I'm willing to sort of see past it regardless of the struggles with contact and the strikeouts, etc. But what are your thoughts on Emmanuel Rodriguez?
I'm not concerned. I just wish that he had taken a step forward. He just showed so many flashes of greatness last year before the knee injury kind of cut the season short. That I was hoping for, you know, a huge continuation and move forward this year. But it's kind of more of this the same. A lot of passivity, not chasing, not swinging at all. Kind of gets him behind in counts, and then he has a very high strikeout rate, but then the power is just so high that kind of overcomes that. So, I mean, I wish he had, you know, a better batting average. I wish he had less strikeouts. I wish he had, you know, even more home runs for a 20-year-old at high A. Like I was just talking about Marcel Lemaire. Like, this is where you know you kind of want him to mash, and he hasn't really mashed. He's still in the top 25 on RoboScout. but he hasn't had that, you know, that hot streak where like Diego Cartaya went on last week, where it's just like, you know, four home runs in four games type of thing. I fully expect that to happen with Emmanuel Rodriguez at some point this year. Soon. We haven't seen it yet. And so I'm just holding serve. Like the ceiling is still so high. It could be a 30 home run bat. Very good in OBP leagues. I do wish the strikeouts would come down. That is a bit of a concern. I want to see him be a bit more aggressive at the plate.
Yeah, agree. It would be nice to see a little bit more contact, a little bit more approach. So I got two guys here who were not ranked in our offseason top 100 who have moved inside of the top 40. That would be Matt McClain and Henry Davis. We have them back to back. We have McClain one spot higher than Davis. I'm a little higher on Davis than McClain for fantasy, as funny as that sounds. I just believe in the power a little bit more, but maybe that's stupid. And you believe in McClain more than Henry Davis. So make the case for Matt McClain.
The case for Matt McClain is my robot friend, Mr. RoboScout. He's basically number one in AAA. We've seen what he's doing in the majors. So it does appear to have been quote unquote real. I was off Matt McClain. I've said this before. I was off Henry Davis as well. I'm very impatient because I feel that, you know, with RoboScout and these tools I have at my disposal, I'm able to backfill my minor leagues quite easily. So I'm very quick to move off of guys. I don't, you know, drop them or anything, but I will trade them and move on and churn, I guess, so to speak. So I was off Matt McClain, but this year, 12 home runs, 10 stolen bases and AAA. He has like the highest WRC plus projection. He's showing like 25 home run power, 15 to 20 stolen bases. It's just everything was there. And yeah, it's just he's number one in AAA of RoboScout. That's like literally the top billing you can get. And so by definition, I have to be high on him. And he's not disappointing me with what he's doing in the majors.
That's fair. No, it's absolutely fair. I think for me with Henry Davis, I've seen a big bounce back, regardless of whether he's at catcher or not. It's almost one of those things that like if he ended up at like first base / like right-handed batter's box for his positions with a DH, I'm totally fine with that. This is a guy that is showing great approach this year, you know, at an all-time high. He's walking a ton, he's hitting for power. The strikeout rate it's always been pretty good. It's pretty close to excellent at this point. He's got a 17% walk rate with an 18% strikeout rate. 10 home runs, as I said. He's even running a little bit. 7 for 10 so far in the base paths. So that's kind of good to see. But there's power, there's approach. And I guess I'm a little bit less concerned about the position versus others. And, you know, I just think there's more power upside here than there is with Matt McClain. I could be totally wrong about that. I feel like, you know, the more I watch McClain in the major league level, the more I do think that the changes this year have produced potential above average regular. So I'm not even necessarily against it. But I do like Henry Davis just a little bit, like a nudge more than I like McClain. But you're pretty high on McClain. And I can appreciate that because it's been good. All right.
I mean, just to put a cap on that, Henry Davis actually has better contact, better 90th exit velocity and better chase than Matt McClain. It's just he's at AA. And so just by the nature of the major league equivalency translations of AA or AAA, it's better. But Henry Davis, who just got promoted to AAA a couple of days ago, like if he does what he was doing at AA, you're mm-hmm. absolutely right. He'll have a monster power projection and all that.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to watch and see what happens there. Pirates are getting more interesting too. All right, let's move on to another guy that was not ranked this offseason. Actually, a couple here. Louis Matos did not make our top 100. He is now 42. Mason Miller did not make our top 100. He is 43. Another one is Edgar Cuero and Harry Ford didn't make our top 100. They are now all within side the top 50. Among those players, which one is the biggest surprise to you if you went back in time and you talked to February Dillon and you said, February Dillon, these guys are all top 50 prospects. Which one would drop February Dillon's jaw the fastest?
I think, no question, Matos. We had Mason Miller and Harry Ford and Requera just outside the 100, from what I remember. And Matos, not nowhere to be found, but he was much, much lower. I was, just as I was off Matt McLean, I was off Luis Matos. He, you know, he had that hot start a couple seasons ago, and it was all part of that Giants international camp or posse. And he just kind of fell off, and it was just like, he's swinging too much. He has the great contact and the ability to make contact, but he's like making bad swing decisions. And it just didn't seem that he was taking that step. But this year, it's just, it's opened my eyes. His swinging strike rate is just minuscule. His contact rate is very high. His K rate's low. He's running. He's now a AAA at the age of 21, and he's doing quite well there as well. He's the guy that I would have said, there's no way. He missed his window, which is very funny to say about someone entering his age 21 season. but he's the one that surprised me the most. He's the one I'm the highest on too. I have him 27th. It's just RoboScout has him. He's like the number two AA guy, and he's in the top 10, I think, for AAA. He only has a few plate appearances, but he's just at a young age doing all the things that, you know, you want to see: contact, walks, swing decisions, exit velocities, getting to the power in game. It's all there. So Luis Matos is the guy that I was 100% down on before the season, and he's definitely won me over.
Yeah, I would agree. Somebody that's definitely moving up. You're much higher on him than I am. You have him 27. I have him 62. That means he's ranked 42, right in the middle. I have two players here that we are flip-flopped on in terms of value that I think would be an interesting conversation. Both players were ranked in our off-season top 100. Both players have moved up. One is Jordan Westberg. The other one is Adel Amador. You're higher on Amador. I'm higher on Jordan Westberg. Why Amador over Westberg?
I just, I'm more impressed with the underlying stat cast for Amador. Just his, like, when I run my RoboScout in my spreadsheet, you know, I have like the red, blue stat cast color coding, and his like swinging strike and his and all that stuff, his contact is like bright red compared to his peers at high age 20, so the same age as Marcelo Mayer and Emmanuel Rodriguez, to continue that the context. He has a strikeout rate of 11%. He has a swinging strike rate of 5.1%. His contact, it's come down recently, and like at the end of May compared to the beginning of May, but it's still, it's like almost at 90%. He has more, well, I guess he doesn't anymore. He had more walks and strikeouts coming into, you know, the last couple of weeks. Now they're basically flat. Mm-hmm. It's just, everything there is just impressive. And Westberg, it just, I have huge hopes for Westberg coming into the season. I had him in a lot of places. I thought he would be the one that would come out of the, you know, the Joey Ortiz versus Jordan Westberg versus Connor Norby versus even Kobe Mayo. I thought he was kind of head and shoulders the winner, going to be the winner of that. And now I know Norby's fallen off and Joey Ortiz has kind of come up, but I'm not as sold on Jordan Westberg being the guy anymore. So it was more of me just kind of cooling a bit. He's still excellent, obviously, and he's still going to have a very productive major league career, in my opinion. But I just like what Amador is doing. I feel he's taken a step forward, whereas Westberg is kind of held serve. That's my perception.
Yeah, it's funny because Westberg is, you know, having a better season than he's really ever had since his first taste of low A, just from a WRC plus standpoint. At AAA, he's hitting 308, 387, 601, 15 home runs, very acceptable strikeout rate of 21%, walk rate of 10%. He's going to have to be added to the 40-man roster this fall, winter, however you want to describe, late November when that date actually happens. For me, I think he's somebody that could be up right away. There's a proximity level there that provides some value for me with Westberg. I think the Joey Ortiz thing, I think part of it is how good of a defender Joey Ortiz is. But I think the bigger thing is he was somebody that's already on the 40-man roster because he was drafted a year before Jordan Westberg. So I don't think it necessarily is indicative of the team shying away from Westberg because of ability. I do think that he is a great trade chip for them right now and could potentially end up, if they go after some pitching in the next month or two. It wouldn't shock me if Westberg got traded for a bigger name starter, right? Has a fair amount of value right now. He's major league ready. He's 24. He has not been added to the 40-man roster, so they don't have to make any decisions on him just as of yet. Easier from a roster management standpoint. Can play a few different positions in the infield. Really good athlete. Should age well. I like Westberg, I think, just from the proximity and some of the circumstances around him. The production's there. He's going to give you average, I think. The walk rate is about average. It's perfectly acceptable. And he's going to hit for some power. I kind of feel like the proximity guy there, I just lean a little bit more on. Though, to be honest with you, I probably would move Amador up from where I had him ranked. He's continued to hit. I've always liked Amador. I liked him when he was coming off the complex. The underlying skills have always been tremendous. It's insane plate skills. He's starting to show more power than he ever has in his career. The underlying exit velocity data isn't bad at all. I see a case for both of them, for sure. I think I just like Westberg's proximity just a little bit more than the long-term upside of Amador. That's really more of a contact and approach play, though I do think he'll hit for some power, probably steal some bases. It's not going to be a huge difference maker in either spot, but not a blind spot at all either.
Hearing this pitch, I think you're absolutely right. I think I should have Westberg higher than Amador. Just looking again at the numbers, especially because he's in AAA, he's already had a taste of the majors and on the cusp of having being on the majors, and then Amador being in high A. I think I should have put Westberg higher than Amador. I just think that he's 20, Amador, so he'll be in double A possibly at the end of this year. So still in his age 20 season, so 21, and then AAA, worst case at 22, and Westberg's 24 in AAA. So he's kind of like 2 years ahead of Westberg's development, even though Westberg is, 2 years closer to the majors. I think Westberg is probably the actual smarter play if I were to make a bet.
Yeah, it depends. It depends on what you're looking for. Yeah, so exactly. Here, I want to move on to another one that you have lower than I do. You still have Cam Collier pretty high. What's your case there? What's the sort of, what are you seeing? What are you thinking? What's the robot seeing? Sort of, what's your case for Cam Collier?
I think it's too early. We had him reasonably high. What do we have him? We had him 52 before the season. I don't want to knock him off the top 100. I like I said, I have a tendency to be fickle, and I'm trying to not have that bias and just kind of be more patient. We have him 74, so he has dropped. I know maybe some of the reports aren't that great. Maybe the conditioning isn't as great as we'd like to see, but he hasn't embarrassed himself RoboScout wise from what I recall. I dropped him a bit, and I knew that when we blended our ranks that he would go down to probably a more appropriate level.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. We're just kind of split on that one a little bit. You didn't move far off of like where you had him, of course.
I mean, he's 18. Like, yeah, he's still very young. His contact is plus for the level and for his age. His 90th percentile exit velocity is above average, almost plus. He's chasing a bit more than we'd like, and he's hitting the ball on the ground. But, you know, like, he's not embarrassing himself out there, especially as an 18-year-old. So, you know, maybe we would have expected, you know, something more indicative of, you know, first-round pick or a first-round FYPD pick as well. But, you know, he's 18, so a lot of time. He's only had 160 or so plate appearances professionally. I'm trying to be patient.
Yeah, that's fine. I was lower on Collier probably coming into the year too. So that's not any huge shock. I made a big case for my boy Emmett Sheehan, got him on the list at 80. I love the fastball. I think the slider's pretty good. The changeup has always been there. I think this guy's a starter. I think that he is the sleeping giant. You heard that right. The sleeping giant in the Dodgers system. Though I know that sounds like an oxymoron. I'm a big fan, man. I got to be honest. Like, I'm trying to, you know, get as many shares of him as I possibly can and have him rostered in as many places as possible. I love Sheehan.
Yeah. There's no question. He's dominating. He's, I think, number two in AA on RoboScout. And that's only because Andrew Abbott had that otherworldly start of like 70%. K percent or whatever it was with the pre-tacked ball. So yeah, big Emmett Sheehan fan over here. It's just, there's so many Dodger riches to choose from. Bobby Miller, Gavin Stone. I said I preferred Stone to Miller, and I'm kind of looking foolish for that one after seeing Bobby Miller carve up the Yankees yesterday. and Gavin Stone being sent back down to AAA. Really? Yeah, I mean, I like Sheehan. I just kind of not sure if he's going to be a starter that goes deep into games. That's maybe foolish, and I'll look foolish again. But I had him at 108. That's probably too low. He has to be in the 100. But again, I knew that you were so high on him that he'd be pulled into the top 80. So. It let me be a bit lazier on my detail, because I knew that we'd have them in a good spot after the blend.
Yeah, for sure. And we have some young guys here at the back of the lists. I think are really interesting players to follow in the next couple of years. It's Ethan Salas, Louis Laura. Salas, unfortunately, is a catcher. Laura is unfortunately very small. We're going to try to pick on both of them. Those are two guys that, you know, for sure are names to keep an eye out for over the remainder of the season and throughout the summer. Really interesting names. Unfortunately, Johnny DeLuca was 101, so we just missed getting him onto the fantasy top 100. But he's been very good. He got called up this week by the Dodgers as well, which is kind of exciting stuff. Ryan Clifford just missed the list. Josue Depala, Tyler Black, Luis Angel Acuna. In terms of the top 100, they are on the 200 list that you can go and take a look at. But wanted to sort of mention some guys that were on the cusp of the top 100, because obviously with some of these players potentially graduating over the next couple of days, some of the stuff on this list could potentially change. Dylan, the last thing I wanted to say before we got off the air, I want to talk a little bit about Zach Veen, because Veen has dropped tremendously from the offseason. 36, he's now down to 86. He's down 50 spots. A lot of that is myself, but you had 67. I had him 107. I'm not even sure that he's a top 100 prospect any longer in any way, shape, or form. It's been really bad. And even my internal feedback has Yankeel Fernandez ahead of Zach Veen. So, what say you? What are your thoughts on Zach Veen? You're a little bit more in, but it seems like you're still pretty down on him too. I just don't see a lot that's going on after watching him in games. You know, I just don't know what it is that's going to work. If he's a guy that doesn't hit for a ton of power, I don't see the speed sticking around for all that long, frankly. Like, he steals bases and he's successful doing it. He's a good base stealer. I don't know if he's going to steal 30, 40, 50 bags like he has in the minor leagues when he gets up to the majors. He walks, he doesn't strike out, he doesn't hit the ball that hard, and he doesn't hit for a high average. I mean, you know, going back to last season when he was promoted to Double A, you know, he's had over 70 games at the level and is, I think, hitting below the Mendoza line. So I'm really concerned. It's kind of like orange alarm here, just about red flag time for me with Zach Veen. So what are your thoughts? Am I panicking too much?
I don't think you're panicking too much. I think everything he said is completely valid. He has a 78 WRC plus, so he is 22% like below the average in Double A. And, you know, he has a high pedigree. He should be 22% above average. Yeah, the power is not there. He only has two home runs, 160 plate appearances. But the underlying stat cast is actually not horrible. I do the Robo Scout, the Robo Score, and then I have the blend with the underlying stat cast. It's actually it boosts him when you fold in the stat cast. His exit velocities are actually pretty good. His contact rate is average. He chases a bit more than average, but his like swing minus like chase rate is actually above average. It's not too bad. His launch angle isn't. It's not like he's just hitting it into the ground, so those exit velocities are wasted. He's kind of elevating it a bit. It's kind of like a launch angle average of like 10 degrees from what I remember. So I still think there's stuff underneath. Like he's got 17 stolen bases. You say that the speed is probably going to come down as he ages, but you know, that's still bring some value. That'll still give him a bit of a floor there. I'm not panicking yet. I think the orange light, the flashing orange light, is appropriate. He's definitely not showing what we want to see in a top 100 prospect, but he does have sort of the ingredients underneath that could bring him back up there, in my opinion.
Let's hope so. We need Zach Veen to get hot and reclaim his spot on the throne. But yeah, he's actually moving down to 3 on the Rockies list. Adel Amador and Yankeel Fernandez have passed him. I do that updating. So there you go. It's one of the reasons that I actually had Yankeel at 75. He just missed the top 100 himself. So there you go. Any other players, parts of the process, name calling directed at me, anything you want to do on the podcast before we wrap this up?
No, I think it's good. I like that we went to 200, because all these guys I have like in the 100 to 125, and I'm like, oh, I really like these guys, and I want the audience to know that these guys are actually highly rated, and even though they're not on the 100, you need to know those names. And so going to 200, I think was great. I like the process where we blend the two. So if we do have a wide range, it kind of puts it in a spot where, you know, maybe that's where the perception should be. So, you know, Zach Veen is a case in point. You have him outside the 100. I have him inside the 100, and then like combined, he's at the back end of the 100. So I think the process really worked. And I look forward to the next update in a month or so.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it. It's been another episode of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. I'm Jeff. He's Dylan, and you're listening. Thanks for tuning in.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.